Hello, this is the weekly astrology forecast, and this is astrologer Shelley Antine bringing you a forecast for the week beginning Monday, the 18th of September, and ending on Sunday, the 24th of September. During this week, this is going to be the big focus of this particular podcast, the fall equinox, as the sun enters Libra. And we're going to call it for Saturday the 23rd, since it's 10 minutes before midnight on Friday on the West Coast, and 2:50 a.m. on Saturday the 23rd here on the East Coast. Well, it's going to be an important little conversation, so I might as well start out with it. And why would it be more important this year than many other years? Well, we are in the sign that we're going to have in October, a solar eclipse that is visible over the United States in Libra. Right? That is going to be happening. Indeed, it is. It's going to happen on the 14th day of October at 1:56 p.m. And so we're going to be talking about that when we get closer to the eclipse itself. But it's at 21 degrees of Libra, and we just had another moon that was at 21 Virgo. And yes, so the thing is that the evolutionary nodes are in Libra now, and that's why we have to pay a little bit more attention to this particular equinox in Libra, because, you know, the sun in Libra is not always connected to the issues of law anymore. You hear a lot about relationships, and the reason we hear about relationships with Libra is because it's a contractual agreement relationship. It's not the casual relationship that you may be, you know, engaging with others. It's not your family necessarily relationships, unless you have some sort of a contract with somebody there, and you're in business partnership with them. It's not the relationship you have with your friends, which are a different house, and your neighbors, a different house. And Libra is the one that is significant partnerships. So we would say, you know, you don't have to be legally married to have a significant partnership, but what you're having is a not formalized and just a mutual agreement, right? So that can be considered a contract if you look at it that way. But, you know, there is this distinction because Libra is the sign of the law and not the natural laws of the universe or even of the earth, but the laws that are on the books of man. And how can we think of this sign being so important, especially as it is the south node in the evolutionary axis of our nodes? The south node being a place where we aren't really working up to speed necessarily with the issues of that sign. And we need to rise up to the higher level of Libra so that we can learn how to do positive Aries. Aries is our north node now. Aries, the sign of war, but you know it's not going to be a negative experience of Aries if it's our north node evolutionary design. You know, what we're seeing now, at least in this country, the United States, is an incredible emphasis on courts of law right now, on criminal acts, which is breaking of laws, you know, and laws on the books that were written by man, women, humans, let's say. So it is extremely important for us to pay attention, because the law is the balancing of the scales of justice so that there isn't too much something or too little something going on, right? Too much aggressive acquiring without heeding the law, too little ability to become, you know, accountable to that. These are the things that have been happening, and it's been building up and building up and building up. And now there's this crescendo of lawsuits going on. It's really a phenomena. You know, you would look hard and long in history to see anything like what's happening now. And we have the issues that Libra is most concerned with. One of them, along with Sagittarius, is truth. And, you know, this is one of the problems that we've been facing for a very, very long time. You know, there's a well-known attitude that is in people that if you say a lie and you keep saying it over and over and over again, people begin to believe it is a truth. And the reason for that is that people have a naive feeling about lying, which is that if you were a liar, you would be embarrassed or ashamed of it. Well, we have had such a shift in the attitude towards ethics in general, in fairness, certainly, you know, and we have been in the state of polarization, you know, where we can call out one person while another person doing the same thing isn't even looked at, you know, because it doesn't suit the goals of those people who are focusing on one. And this is not an ethical or just position to be in. This isn't a balanced scale. All right, so we look out at the world and we see where it is not balanced. And we look at what we need to do to lift us up into the higher level of Libra. Libra is an air sign. That means it's invisible realm. It is the mental realm, and it has to be addressed there. And then it is recorded. Libra is also a sign that has to do with writing. The Spanish word libro is book, you know. So writing it down, codifying it, making an agreement about that is what we do once we come to those decisions. Now, one of the things on personal level, and we are also seeing this on the outer level, is that when we have agreements, we have sometimes a declared agreement that if you break, there can be obvious repercussions and somebody can call you on it. But the other thing we can do is we can avoid making conscious and declared agreements in our own relationships with particularly important people in our lives, like marital partners or other serious life partners, and our relationship to society, to be an ethical, law-abiding citizen. You know, this is a contract you actually have, which is not always realized that we have this contract, you know. So we have, you know, in terms of our relationship to a country, our country has a pledge of allegiance, which is renewal of vows. You know, you can have renewal of vows for weddings if you are an ordained reverend or something like that. You can renew those vows that you take. That is a conscious and declared agreement. And you're supposed to live up to it because you made that vow. And so we have wedding vows, right? We have not been looking at them very much, I feel. And particularly the level that is the unconscious or not really unconscious, but unexpressed. Those agreements of taking for granted people's behaviors and expectations based on that. Now, the unspoken agreement is one of the most hurtful things when it is broken. Because if you have an unspoken agreement, it isn't something you can go after. You can't get a lawyer and, you know, prosecute somebody for breaking an unspoken agreement, you see. And the unspoken agreement is one of our issues in the outer world also, because we sort of had an unspoken agreement that people would tell the truth. You know, we had an unspoken agreement that journalists would tell the truth and so forth. And, you know, actually persecuting or prosecuting people who break that unspoken agreement is not easy unless they've actually committed a crime in doing so. You know, and we do have an unspoken agreement sometimes with people, like, you know, with friendships, for instance. You may have started out a friendship and started giving each other presents for your birthday, and, you know, or at least sending a card or calling the person. And then all of a sudden, one year, this friend doesn't fulfill the unspoken agreement. I mean, it's very difficult to say to that person, you know, why didn't you call me? Why didn't you send me a gift? Why didn't you send me a, you know, you're in the middle of an emotional upset that's going to cause problems, most likely, unless both people are, you know, really evolved enough to say, oh, you know, I didn't, and this is why, or whatever, and you can have a conversation. But discussions and conversations are also a Libra energy. We have come to a point in time in our culture where we are losing the art of conversation and discussion amongst each other by texting. You don't need to, you don't have to bother speaking to each other. I mean, it's annoying to people to even think you want to speak to them and have a conversation. But conversation and discussion is a way for people to share themselves and, you know, what their needs are and what their expectations are and what they hope for. And then, you know, people know where things stand. There's clarity in discussion. You know, it's really interesting because back in the day when people wrote letters, oh gosh, I mean, I am old enough to have written letters and, you know, had wonderful experiences receiving letters from a person and just having that great experience of sitting down and opening the envelope. And, oh, it was just such a wonderful thing, right? But then, you know, long-distance phone calls were eventually, you don't even have to pay extra for it, you know. And now you have a cell phone. So instead of taking advantage of that fact and, you know, spending time with each other and speaking to each other, you know, we don't. But in the age of letters, we couldn't hear, and this is true in texts also, it's true in those kinds of casual sendings, that we don't know what the attitude is that is in the person who's sending it. Are they being sarcastic? Are they serious? Are they joking? should I be happy about what they said? Or should I be, you know, this is really true. So the discussion and dialogue is a part of Libra. And seeing other sides, this is one of the major things about the symbol even. You know, you see a line with a bump and the line continues and then a straight line underneath. So we look at that, maybe that top is a horizon line. Maybe it's talking about equal day and night because it's just a half circle. But it's also suggesting something that isn't seen, right? And so the point of Libra can become expressing the unseen experience and also seeking it in yourself. Yeah. So what isn't said can be as important as what is said. And this is one of the lessons that we learn in Libra. Libra that wants peace and harmony and then can overdo that to be not really true to the self, not being expressing and being that unseen part of the circle that is trying too hard to please people, to be charming, to make sure everything is okay and not ruffling feathers, you know. This is a detriment. It's not really always the best way. I mean, okay, if you're going to be in a diplomatic corps, you need to learn how to express things in a way that isn't going to create a war. And that's also true. But avoiding the expression of a truth is also just simply that, avoiding. And it isn't going to move anything forward. You know, people speak of boundaries and, you know, the difference between being aggressive and assertive. You know, we have to learn with the South Node in Libra coming up to a solar eclipse in Libra. We'll have a few more before we're out of these nodes. That is going to be very decisive in the realm of law, our relationships with important people in our lives, and even more so, our relationship to ourself and whether we are willing to come to the truth and to speak it and discuss it with those who are important to us. All right, so this is what I want to say about the sun entering Libra on Saturday, the 23rd of September at 2:50 a.m. in the Eastern time zone. Okay, but also I want to mention what the equinox means. The equinox is the time of equal day and light night hours. So that's what it is. It's when the circle of our experience of going around the sun meets the equator line. And it's literally visible. You can see diagrams of a point where, you know, we come to that time when the Earth's axis is at a point where we're not closer to the sun or further away from the sun. We're at an equal distance. In the northern hemisphere, this gives us our version, and the southern hemisphere will be exactly the opposite version. So we're going into the fall equinox in the northern hemisphere. So gradually after this one, we start noticing that it is darker sooner. well, we already notice it now, but then we start seeing it really encroaching on us until we feel there's much more dark hour than there is light hour. Now, in the ancient calendars of our Celtic forebearers, or even whatever your forebearers were, everyone comes from an indigenous culture originally, this was an important thing to note. And it was the moment when we knew we were going into the darker half of the solar cycle, of the solar year. So we were coming to a second harvest. I saw someone post that this was, you know, we got the full moon in Virgo. That meant that we were in the, you know, the important harvest time. Well, the important harvest time started with the grains back in the beginning of August. That was, you know, like, wow, you forgot about those. I see you like these vegetables, these squashes and stuff. But hey, you know, we've had our first harvest. The second harvest comes in, and it is a wonderful harvest. We really enjoy the fruits and their vegetables a lot, and squashes and, you know, berries and nuts and all of that great stuff of the autumn, of the fall, equinox time, of the harvest time. Now the apples, you know, it's the big apple time. And, you know, this is an important thing. Once we get past this, there's only one harvest left, and that will be, we'll find that at the next time we cycle into what the Irish call the Samhain, what we call Halloween, the 1st of November, which is the last harvest, and that is usually the hops and the grapes, right? So this is the natural cycle of life, of agricultural life. And, you know, what we're finding is that we don't notice this anymore because of our, you know, airplanes and boats and things bringing us foods from other climates and different places. But we used to notice it big time. Because here again, there were things that had to be done with that food that we're harvesting now so that it would help feed us over the winter months. You know, so what we would do with apples will go bad, of course. They won't go bad as quickly if you keep them cold. And, you know, but if you make apple cider, you know, you can keep the energy of apple with you longer. And this was important. This is an important thing. But one of the things about having longer night was that people were going to be inside. It was going to get colder. And they were going to be with their family and spending less time bustling about out in the fields. So Libra, discussion, agreements, relationship, how to keep the peace but not be giving up yourself in your home. And so this was a very important time for us to look at how we were dealing with our important, significant, is what they called it, relationships. Because it was going to be something we were going to be with until we came out of the dark time. Winter solstice, the depth of the dark, and then coming out at the first buds, we start to come back out, and we see the, you know, the little shoots coming up out of the ground, and, you know, we know we're coming into the time where we'll be out of that cocoon, so to speak. So very important energy. The equinox, to be weighing and measuring for yourself and for your relationship. What does it look like? Is this something we need to discuss? Is this something we need to change? Is there an agreement that we can say, okay, that was fine for that period of time, but now, you know, we're going to move into a different cycle. Yeah. And, of course, an eclipse coming in the sign means the change in the outer world, in terms of these issues. So I've hopefully not spent the whole podcast on this, but it is important. And that's really the only major thing that happens this week in the weekly astrology forecast. Starts on the 18th of September with a moon in Scorpio coming in after a void of course moon in Libra. That's actually how you start on Monday. 12:58 a.m. Is when it came in. And early morning trine to retrograde Saturn in Pisces at 5:19 a.m. Sort of dream time issues for most of us. But now we go into the day and we have a direct Mercury, not quite all the way up to speed yet, but getting there. Moon in Scorpio will sextile Mercury in Virgo until 5:52 p.m. So now, using the depth of Mercury to take a look from the new perspective, from certain things and ideas, and what you wanted to do, what you think you might be looking at doing, this is a good time to go back over some things that you want to start and see how they may differ from where you were about it before the retrograde. After 5:52 p.m. Eastern, you go to the moon's opposition to Jupiter, retrograde in Taurus. That's the rest of Monday for the East Coast, even the West Coast, because it's going to complete at 6:16 a.m. on Tuesday, while the Sun in Virgo is going towards its opposition to Neptune, 7:17 a.m. So let's just say, if you're looking at financial issues, don't get too invested now, and don't expect to have agreements either because of those two aspects that I was talking about. You can go overboard in either direction. Shared resources is Scorpio. My stuff is Taurus. Okay, but you're not getting clear information and reliability with the Sun opposition Neptune. So this is going to be over by 7:17 a.m. on Tuesday, the 19th, but Scorpio Moon has two more hurdles on Tuesday. It's not your best day. 8:29 a.m., Moon square Venus in Leo, also very different values, different attitudes towards relationships, and things like that. So you can see some of the stuff that's going on with you that you have to look at the Libra equinox. All right, some of this is coming in this week for you to get those ideas of what isn't working so well. Also on Tuesday, the moon will oppose retrograde Uranus and Taurus until 8:46 p.m. So somebody's really want to be in control of things. Somebody else wants things to sort of change a bit. See what that looks like for you. It will be easy to connect to the psychic realm after that Uranus opposition completes, because the moon in Scorpio will trine retrograde Neptune in Pisces until 3:06 a.m. on Wednesday. And so you will have in the early morning hours, maybe before you're up in the East Coast, pretty much surely before you're up out west, you have the moon's trine to Neptune completing. You have the moon's sextile to the Sun in Virgo, 4:47 a.m. Wednesday. You have the moon's sextile to retrograde Pluto in Capricorn, 6:21 a.m. So there are the places where if you open up, you put yourself in some white light or something when you go to sleep, you might get some good messages about how to manage things. Because Scorpio is a management sign. It is. And so the Sun in Virgo is also administrative. All right. So you may be getting some good messages in the overnight. Avoid, of course, Scorpio moon takes us into Wednesday, and the moon will enter Sagittarius at 10:06 a.m. And it doesn't have an easy ride at this point, at the beginning, because it's got a square retrograde Saturn in Pisces, and it'll do that at 1:58 p.m. on Wednesday. So, you know, there is, again, a lot of optimism meeting a lot of pessimism. Doesn't make for good meetings, period, right? The Sun is trine Pluto. So Virgo and Capricorn want to work on making things stable and workable and make sense. But the Moon is going towards a square to Mercury for the rest of Wednesday and until 5:13 a.m. on Thursday, which is not going to be an agreeable discussion. You know, Moon in Sag wants wide philosophical, you know, why is this so? Mercury in Virgo wants very precise details, please. So it isn't the same, and people aren't coming to the same conclusions. But you've got a good run on Thursday with the moon in Sag going sextile Mars in Libra. So you can get some better ideas about what I just spoke about Libra and people who are passionate about Libra, Mars, till 4:12 p.m. in the afternoon. So your discussions will be wide-ranging, philosophical, and, you know, maybe you'll get somewhere, especially if you're talking about things that are needed to be seen in terms of significant partners, significant relationships. A very lovely dinner can be scheduled while the moon in Sag is trine Venus in Leo. 6:25 p.m. in the Eastern time zone is when that completes. So now you've got good feelings, could be romantic, you've got entertainment, and both will be happy with adventure. So if you want to try a different cuisine from a different culture, someone will say yes, and you'll enjoy it too. However, when we get past 6:30-ish on the Eastern time, then we've got the moon going square Neptune, and that won't be over till 9:37 a.m. on Friday the 22nd. Let's just say there's potential for people, especially in long-distance travel, to have issues with weather or come into infectious substances, toxic substances. And we know we're being told that there's an uptick in a virus. So when you see any kinds of negative aspects to Neptune now, you know, if you know they're there, that's not your best time to be in large groups of people. And that's, you know, as you get closer to the square to Neptune. So you may find that you could get, you know, up till, you know, it might be the morning where these things are more obviously encountered on Friday. 22nd. The moon will square the sun in Virgo at 3:32 p.m. Eastern. And so here again, you've got differences in how. You know, instinctively, Sagittarius moon has to expand. I mean, I remember my teacher telling me way back, you know, you find somebody with the moon in Virgo, they can't sit down and sit still for very long. They'll be getting up and moving, because it's instinctive. They're not even thinking about it. You know? So here you've got that energy dealing with logic, order, and that's the way we want it to look out there, expression from an authority. Okay, so not a good time to be having authority meetings. But try not to do it on Friday the 22nd. Void, of course, Sag moon moves into Capricorn less than an hour later at 4:20 p.m., and we get a sextile. From this, we get sextile to retrograde Saturn in Pisces, 7:44 p.m. So someone with some experience and an elder view or something like that will help Saturn, ruler of Capricorn, deal with some of the issues of fears and dissolving and feeling victimized and things like that. It will help. And after this aspect is when the Sun comes into the foreground as it enters Libra at 2:50 a.m. Saturday, the 23rd, while the Capricorn Moon is going trine Mercury in Virgo until 2:24 p.m. So really, you can start looking at it. You can start looking at it in terms of how you deal with, you know, you have things about traditions. That's Capricorn is very consensus and traditional, and you're trying to maybe get some plans made for holiday season. This is a good time to do it because you've got someone who's looking at details, Mercury, and logic and order, Virgo. So you can do that, or you can do your rituals and have them around these ideas of something that you really want to ground, and you want it to be in a good way as you go through this cycle of this seasonal equinox. All right, and then you will be moving into a trine from Capricorn Moon to retrograde Jupiter in Taurus until 6:12 p.m. So the optimism comes in, some ideas about how to work with possessions, with nature, with real estate, perhaps coming in. But don't try to discuss things after 6:12 p.m. Eastern Time, because now you've got a square to Mars in Libra, and it's over at 11:17 p.m. So Capricorn doesn't want to be challenged with new ideas or different points of view. It's a much more, you know, rigid sign. It's a sign of structure. It's the bones in our body. So we really, you know, when we have a moon in Capricorn, the feeling space is not to, you know, kind of be challenged in any way. This is, you know, we have gone from first quarter of the waxing crescent phase to the half moon when we had the moon square sun on Friday. So when we get into this Saturday, we're also in the first day of the second quarter phase, where we do want to start moving towards something. You know, what were we planting? What seeds did we plant last week? We want to fertilize them. But, you know, you had a great period till 6:12 p.m. And then you just sort of let it go, if you can. And after 11:17 p.m. in the Eastern time zone, you get a moon in Capricorn, trine, retrograde, Uranus and Taurus until 7:27 a.m. on the 24th, which is going to be a high holy day also for the Jewish people, as Yom Kippur begins at sundown. And they have the new year that is taking place over this weekend before. That is a celebration, but then they go through their, you know, what do I have to atone for? And, you know, make my relationship, Libra, with the higher, and see how I can improve and see how I can balance my karmic scales and Libra here. So there we have that holiday coming. We have Moon in Capricorn sextile retrograde Neptune in Pisces until 1:03 p.m., so a softer morning on the 24th, good for spiritual work and, you know, pondering and letting ideas come in. The conjunction, that is a monthly conjunction also until we get finally out of Capricorn for Pluto, comes in at 4:05 p.m. So that 1:03 to 4:05 on Sunday is a time when the emotions can get really intense. Capricorn might not show it that much, but there can be obsessive energies when the moon is joined to Pluto. And so this would be status, achievement, who's the authority here, who's the boss. So be aware of that. You may be around people that afternoon. This energy is there while Mars in Libra is going opposite Chiron in Aries. Retrograde in Aries at 4:06 p.m. So again, somebody may feel wounded. So be conscious on the afternoon of Sunday. Void of course, moon in Capricorn shifts to Aquarius at 7:29 p.m. Sunday. And the harmony of the lights is what you've got to start out with. Moon in Aquarius, trine, sun in Libra, looking at the future, looking at equality, looking at innovations, and dialoguing about that is a good way to look at your important relationships. And then Moon in Aquarius is going to square Jupiter. And so we do have that difference of values coming in for Monday, pretty much most of Monday in the East time zone. But while this is happening, before we get too close to that Moon square Jupiter, Mercury in Virgo trines Jupiter. So as we're in Sunday, as we're in that mode, after the moon conjunct Pluto, and once we get into the Aquarius moon, now with that trine to the sun, have your conversations about what you think might be a good way to manage things, particularly finance, real estate, possessions, what you think you need to survive. This is Mercury in Virgo speaking about Jupiter in Taurus. And so that is the week and a lot of information about the equinox, which, don't forget it, as we go into the following week. The following week, we do not have shifts in direction yet. We're going to get them early in October. Some of these retrograde planets will be going direct soon. But what we will have the week of the 25th to October 1st is a full moon in Aries. So that's our wonderful axis of evolution, but not an event. We will have our lunar eclipse still in Taurus this time, 2 weeks after we have the solar eclipse in Libra. But this is going to be an important moon for us to discuss. So we'll see. If it needs another podcast, there'll be one. But at any rate, I will say I wish you all the best in exploring and discovering what you need personally in terms of Libra and how you can do a ritual to bring that in a positive way on the equinox. And I'll say goodbye for now.